Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Hello there. Great. It's a rare daytime recording for
us. It is. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, we might have to do more of these at the moment because...
Nighttime doesn't exist in Australia anymore.
No, they've gotten rid of it.
They banned it. They banned it. They found people protesting during the nighttime, so they banned nighttime. So now we're just...
Pretty clever when you think about
clever,
it.
Very clever,
yeah. Right? Rep, if you are out there protesting or whatever you're up to, please stay safe, obviously.
Keep that distance.
Keep that distance. Do what you can. You know what I mean? Good luck to everybody. We've linked to a few things on our social medias, haven't we?
With regards, just information and resources.
That's right. Yeah. Stay safe. Stay cool.
Stay cool. Well, that's more important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, but, you know, if you've gotten the choice between staying safe and staying cool,
yeah,
you better stay cool.
You know it. This is going to be an
Get
all...
Get that fedora.
Fedora. Down low. I'm doing it.
No, I see.
So this is an all-news episode. I'm a bit pressed for time. Got a lot going on. So do you, Nick Mason. So, yeah, just all news all the time.
Yeah, that's right. And well, the news never stops.
That's where we're
at. I mean, it's slow, certainly.
Yeah, certainly does.
So we're gonna... what we do then is we pad.
We pad for time.
We pad for time.
But I don't know if we can.
Some might argue we're doing it now.
I technically have to be somewhere in 42 minutes.
We can't do that much padding. All right.
Yeah, this is definitely going to go over. So the first news we're going to kick off with this week is Godzilla versus Kong. It's officially been given a rating. Two thumbs up.
Oh, that's great.
No, rating of PG-13. And people are like, I don't want this kidified version of Godzilla versus... Mm. Is there an R-rated Godzilla or Kong
movie?
I don't
think there's ever been one, no.
Yeah.
It's just Godzilla and Kong effing and jeffing all about the
place.
That's
right. And I've seen some comparisons made to like Kong Skull Island. That's a very violent movie, but yeah. It's also PG-13 because it's just like CGI animals beating each other with sticks.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
What do people want? What's in the American rating system? What's next after PG-13? Is it R?
It's R. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. What do you want there?
What do I want?
I guess because like when you think of like movie series or video game series or whatever, I guess you want, you know, you want better special effects and more resolution and that sort of stuff. So is
more resolution, like character resolution.
Character resolution, exactly. You want those arcs to finally be finished. You want you want Godzilla and Mothra to finally hug, you know what I mean? But I guess like, do you want people being killed in ever more horrifying high definition? Is that it? Do you want people being squashed by Godzilla and just...
Eyeballs
ooze out from between his toes?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I don't want that either. But I mean, what do people want that you cannot be delivered in PG-13? I just don't know.
I think there's room for that in horror movies of this nature. If you would like to do like a Cloverfield. Is that an even R-rated? It might not even be.
I don't think it is.
Maybe a Cabin in the Woods or something, like a fantastical creatures. But I don't know. It also makes sense because who's going to be seeing these movies? Teenagers, probably. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, my favorite childhood character, Godzilla, is going to fight my favorite childhood character.
He's going to be effing and jeffing, just like a teen dude.
That's right. When I was a kid, I loved the classic movie King Kong 2005.
That's right.
And now he's back for more adventures. So that's good, I think. Still out for November 2020. That could change at any point, any time, for any reason. Mm-hmm. The reason being, though, the coronavirus, obviously.
Yes.
Not any reason. That would be the reason.
That's the main number one reason, yeah. But unless, no, James, you're discounting the idea that maybe a worse reason will happen.
Oh, yeah. Because there's so many bad things keep happening this year. What's going on?
We're just trying to reach peak bad thing.
So we're not there.
And we've done it. No, because we're doing this podcast, James.
Oh, you got us.
I got us.
You got us.
Peak bad thing.
Speaking of peak bad things.
Yes.
Actually, no, I'm going to hold off on that.
Maybe do a peak bad thing. It was this podcast.
That's a reference.
But the kids love Chris Isaac. You know?
Chris Isaac.
That's their goal.
1999.
He's effing and jeffing like the teens.
The tie into the movie Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned this before. My favorite comic book run of all time is Starman, which is from the 90s.
You definitely mentioned that.
And
yeah.
And there's a point where the titular character, he points out that he's not cool because he's no Chris Isaak. And I'm like, wow, that's the only thing that dates this. Not that I don't love Chris Isaak. I do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Just saying. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Who would it be now? Would it be Psy? That's
Psy.
Who we always go
to. It
would
through. Be Psy, yes. The coolest guy in the world.
So here's a question for you.
I'm ready.
More or less Alien movies?
More. Always more.
What if I said prequels?
Yeah, always more.
Wow, okay.
Because again, it's a horseshoe effect.
Yep.
It's if what happens is we get increasingly worse prequels,
mm-hmm.
and then it just loops around, and then we get a good one set now, I think. What happens?
But that would be like another, like an even prequel.
That would be
prequel.
That would be an even prequel. A prequel.
Aren't the ones that are set now the Alien v Predator movies?
Oh, yeah,
well, not now, now because they were hot in the time of Chris Isaak.
I don't know. I'm lost. I'm lost in this dumb thing that I've said. Just give me the answer, okay. So we can move on.
No. The answer is whatever you want it to be. If you want more Alien prequels, that's good because Ridley Scott.
I want more prequels.
He's talking about
you.
A follow up.
Yes.
Because he's done your Prometheus. Mm-hmm. He's done your Alien Covenant. Yes. We're coming out of the backs now.
So this will be a sequel to those movies.
Yes.
It wouldn't be set before those movies.
No.
Okay. Right.
Did you like Alien? We're coming out of the backs now.
Yes.
Talk about it.
Maybe.
Remember they're like smoking on planets and inhaling mushrooms that give them alien diseases?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Cool movie. Anyway, this is what he said. What I thought about when I was making it, the first one, as in Alien 1979.
Yep.
Why would a creature like this be made and why is it traveling in what I thought was always some kind of warcraft, which was carrying the cargo of these eggs? What was the purpose of the vehicle and what was the purpose of the eggs? That's the thing to question. Who, why, and for what purpose? In the next idea, I think. Wasn't the idea behind those eggs also that they were like thousands of years old? But they're like, this is a very old ship.
Yeah, I guess so. I was always under the impression that, it was a sort of a, they were sort of a, because I had the Aliens technical manual back in the day. I was always under the impression that, they were a bioweapon. The idea was that you deliver them to a planet and then they just destroy everything.
Which they do elaborate on in Covenant.
Well, I feel like this is, I feel like he's asking a question that the mythos he is built.
Yeah.
Has answered that already.
Yeah. What? The Michael Fassbender made him?
Yes. Mm. For making trouble.
It does make a lot of trouble, doesn't
it? It's a lot of trouble.
During the original Alien, you know how to make those sets look bigger. They put kids in spacesuits and had them walk around.
Oh, I see. Right.
That's fun, isn't it? Anyway, I guess if they're going to do more, fine. Another prequel.
Yeah, right.
But you don't want to do the sequel with Ripley and Hicks?
Mm.
Like the real Alien 3, like we just got the real Terminator 3? Big success. So why can't we just do that again?
Good question.
Bigger success.
Well, that's interesting that a lot of franchises now, are doing the ignore the previous stuff, we'll just do a reboot.
Halloween.
We'll just move it along. It's interesting that Alien has yet to do that because we very well could.
I mean, they're not all in canon because some of the VP movies. But yeah, you're right. Movies do that now. Because you look at Terminator Dark Fate, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You look at The Rise of Skywalker, it ignores the previous movie.
Yeah.
That's what movies do these days.
Yes.
So I guess more Alien prequels. I mean, they're dumb and that's interesting to me.
I read an interview with Guy Pearce recently.
Where he was like, why did they make me do that?
Exactly.
Was that the one?
It was that one. It was exactly that one. But it was also, he did provide confirmation about why he was an old man, mate. Like we've long suspected that he was in old man makeup in the movies that he was in because they were going to do a scene set in the past where he was a young man and you know forming his company or whatever. And apparently it was I think it was because, and I'll look this up later, but I think it was because he was going to have a scene on a yacht, but they couldn't make a decision on what kind of yacht, or they couldn't they couldn't acquire the yacht in time.
I think it was also, it was a virtual reality situation because, you know, Michael Fassbender comes and talks to him through the pod.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And that was going to be like, he was going to be a young man in a virtual environment. So I think that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, yeah.
But they eventually did do that scene at the start of Covenant where he's like, David, I've made you play the piano or I'll kill you.
They did too. That's right. Yeah. But apparently there was a yacht involved. That's all I'm saying.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's why I like movies, because you can get a yacht sometimes.
Exactly right, yeah.
That's what I'm there for.
Yeah. God, imagine the luxury these days of like, just you had to choose between different yachts. They're pretty crazy, right?
The problem is with these movies, I feel like with The Last Terminator as well, don't make them for $200 million because you don't need to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't need to.
That's right.
Anyway, The Hollywood Reporter, they're coming out hot with some news. Batwoman is going to feature a new character in the shoes of Batwoman. They're not going to replace
Ruby
Rose's character. Mm-hmm. They're going to replace the character of.
Yes.
How do you feel about this show that we haven't seen going in this direction?
I love it.
Hmm. There's enough Batwoman where you'd be like, yeah.
Mm.
enough different characters you could bring in.
That's right.
Mm. I mean, I'm sure the whole the premise of the show hinges on the central conflict between this particular character and
and her sister, I think.
I think, but also.
Maybe this new character has a sister also.
Yeah, it's like, do you remember when Charmed lost one of the sisters?
They added in a new, they found a new sister.
And it was fine, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't it?
Probably.
They kept making at least one season of that show, so that's where we're at.
And again, you know, TV shows have weathered weirder changes before, you know.
Yeah.
Two and a Half Men, obviously.
Yes.
Wonder Woman, they just moved her into the modern day and they were all her friends are the same though.
We talked about Bewitched recently in something.
That's right, New Darren.
New Darren.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, these are all good examples.
And there are an assortment of, you know, other, and if you want to keep it as a female Bat family. Well, again,
there's so many you could pick from.
That's the thing. I mean, assuming they're going to still call it Batwoman, then you could promote one of the Batgirls, or there's you put a Robin in and she takes over the role of Batwoman. Who knows?
Absolutely, there's so many ways you could do it. I guess also this leaves the door open for a cameo in a upcoming Crisis.
Yeah, and also, you know, it may also be that she's taking a season off. Something we didn't mention when we heard that she was leaving. Apparently, she had quite a severe back injury.
Yeah, there was someone die or get really severely injured as well, another person?
And again, that's why they had to replace a Darren. He had a back injury.
Did he?
Yes.
Did he do a flip?
Yeah, he did a flip.
Doesn't need to do flips. Yeah. The kind of show is it? No, you need to do a flip.
Absolutely not. You're right. You're dead on right there.
So yeah, look, in all honesty, I like when they try and keep the continuity when they swap out a character.
Yeah, right, exactly.
What I like about MASH, the original series, is that whenever a character would leave, they would acknowledge that they had left and they bring in a new character that's completely different from that person.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's...
They replaced Radar with Sonar, as an example.
That's right. But, you know, like Frank Burns leaves and he's like an incompetent Muppet of a surgeon.
Yes, right.
And they bring in the best surgeon there is and he's a better surgeon than all the other surgeons. Mm. So, like, you can add a different
element. All the other characters hated him and then he was killed.
Yes. No, he went on to be Martian Manhunter.
Oh.
David Ogden Stiers.
David Ogden Stiers, yeah, right.
Uh-huh. So that's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
Yeah. So... Are you familiar with Josh Boone, director of The New Mutants?
I mean, not
overly you know that familiar. he's done this.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about making more New Mutants.
Wow.
And here's the quote. Ultimately, after all this time, I was able to make my New Mutants film, and I'm proud of it. What I'm hoping for now is that it'll be successful enough so the studio will allow me to complete a trilogy. I've got it all planned out.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be cool if this was a good movie, right?
I would love it if this was a
really
good movie.
Nice. Yeah. I like that confidence. I don't know whether it's going to happen. Do you think he's trying to get some traction to be like, people will like it and then they'll push Disney to be like, this is the thing that we want to keep seeing?
Yes.
Because, you know, that's the deal now, isn't it? Fans yell at
fans yell, yeah.
At companies this is, until
But that's
they,
the thing also, are we at peak fans yelling at studios?
Do you think they've had a gutful?
No, well, I think they've probably had a gutful, but also... At this point, it would just be noise. There's so many tweets from directors being like, well, I didn't get to make what I wanted to make and they didn't let me hire who I wanted to hire.
A bunch of Suicide Squad stuff this week.
Mm-hmm.
David Ayer talked about how the continuity of the movie is broken by Geoff Johns because it implicates Harley Quinn in the murder of
Robin.
But she wouldn't have been there because of because he got his teeth broken by Batman after that happened. And we see the creation of her and the teeth that he had before that.
Oh, I see, right.
I never thought about it because I didn't need to. But, yeah.
Why would it ever come up in conversation or on a podcast?
I guess it could also, she could be implicated if she was the psychiatrist when it happened and she was associated to it that way. They're like, what did the Joker tell her? What did she tell the Joker or whatever?
That's true, yeah.
I'm fixing this movie.
Sure are.
Just on the fly.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you bloody go. I mean, when is New Mutants coming out though? Do you know?
No idea.
Oh my goodness. Do you love hot prequel gossip?
Yes. I think we've established that I do based on
my
love for hot prequel aliens from earlier, yes.
So this is some DC news coming out of Heroic Hollywood.
Okay.
I'm just going to read this. Let's go for
this. Verbatim, okay, sure.
It doesn't have to be verbatim. I'll do some skimming. I'll get some words wrong.
So you're going to willfully misrepresent whatever Heroic Hollywood is saying.
That's right.
Cool.
You got a problem with that?
No, I love it.
What are you in the pocket of Big Heroic Hollywood?
Yeah.
Fair enough. After the surprise success of Joaquin Phoenix award-winning Joker, Heroic Hollywood has exclusively learned there's going to be an attempt to pitch a Bane standalone film to DC executives.
Hmm.
In a similar way to the Todd Phillips film, it could have offered a filmmaker the chance to explore the villain's psyche in a character study etc. or whatever. That's just filler. A potential pitch for the film would have loosely in the Batman Vengeance of Bane story from the comics as a basis of the script, and the plot would have introduced Bane to the DC universe, revealing that his tragic origin began before he was even born, since Batman is the key to his motivation. And across that arc, Batman could coexist in the film and even have a looming presence over Gotham City, and maybe he'll show up in a future movie, etc. Do you think Bane's a like a popular enough villain where people would be like, yeah, this is, I want a Bane prequel movie?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. You heard
I mean,
first.
You know, I don't know though, because that's the thing. He's, it's that thing where if you don't tie Batman in, if Batman doesn't make an appearance,
yeah,
what is he really? He's a guy and he injects a lot of drugs and it makes him strong. Except if we're doing it by Joker rules, maybe he doesn't even inject any drugs that makes him strong. Maybe he's just a guy who had a bad childhood and he had to escape from a well or whatever.
No, fridge.
They should call it the kid.
It's a fridge.
Oh, it's a fridge. The kid who had to escape from a well or a fridge.
Do you think it's too soon to be looking at Bane Origins, seeing as we got one, I guess, 8 years ago now?
Oh, we did too, didn't we?
Yeah. I mean, that's a different Bane. And again, there's Joker movies every 14 minutes.
Yes.
So right. I guess it doesn't really matter, does it? I don't know. I just think it's, is this the one? You know what
you
I mean?
See, well,
anything can work.
Yeah,
so,
because I've never felt particularly enamored by the Bane origin. Again, he's just a...
The most interesting thing is that he broke Batman that one time.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And he just came out of nowhere because they needed a new...
Cool dude.
A new cool dude to do that, exactly.
That's right.
That's the splash page when he shows up. He's like, I'm the new cool dude.
Whoa, we're just in time. We're looking for something like you, actually. Yeah, right. That's really good that you're here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my God, he's doing an ollie.
You really are the new cool 90s dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, who knows, there's been a lot of rumblings of what a Warner Brothers going to do next with potentially off the back of Joker.
Is this the idea that villains are more interesting than heroes? I wonder if that's the...
I don't subscribe to that.
No.
I'm not saying they aren't.
Yeah, right.
Some of them, or they can be, obviously, but maybe a Mr. Freeze origin would be more interesting. But then what about if you did a movie? Hear me out.
Stop me right. I'll stop you right there. You've struck gold. What if they did a movie?
What if they did like your Heart of Ice Mr. Freeze,
yes,
but you do it from his perspective and Batman's inadvertently involved, you know? Like you see Bruce Wayne and he's like, good job, Mr. Freeze, before you're Mr. Freeze, Mr. Fries, which is how his name is really spelled.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, and you do it from that perspective and you do a character study where it doesn't have to be a universe where Batman isn't there. Or isn't even doesn't exist yet. Maybe does, but the focus of the movie is not that.
Okay, sure.
Like it's like a side tale. You know, you get like a Gotham Police Department comic or whatever. You know, it's like
Gotham Central. Yeah.
Gotham Central. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I guess, but also I don't necessarily. The thing being is, if it's just the Heart of Ice storyline from the cartoon,
yeah,
and we're just seeing a live action version of that,
yeah,
and maybe I'm just and that if I'm watching that, I'm just in it for like the stylistic elements of like what does Mr. Freeze look like? What does his helmet look like? What does his gun look like?
You got a big suit that sucks up diamonds or whatever.
Exactly, but that's not necessarily. It doesn't innovate. It's not fresh kind of thing. But if they go, okay, well, we'll take that origin and we'll make it even better, Joker style, I don't think you will, because I think that's kind of the definitive origin for Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough.
You know, because because Mr. Freeze isn't, he's not a guy whose society, you know, he's not a man who lives in a society, you know what I mean?
I mean, he does live in a society.
I mean, he lives in a society, but he doesn't live in the society.
But do you think that's what they're looking for, more men who are living in the society?
That made $1 billion, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if you can just replicate that.
I guess if you maybe if you you lean it towards, well, this is what capitalism did. It put his wife in a cryogenic tube and then he was covered in icy goo.
Yeah. Yeah. But now he's striking back against capitalism.
Back. Right,
with a freeze gun, mostly.
With a freeze gun, exactly. Yeah.
I guess what I'm talking about, like a movie that's tangentially linked to Batman.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Is Birds of Prey. That is the Suicide Squad. So they're already kind of doing it, I guess, aren't they, anyway?
To mixed results, yeah.
Yeah, to mixed results. Hot stuff.
Hot stuff.
Do you love...
But that's the thing, I guess, is that they also went, okay, let's get one of our most popular supporting characters, Harley Quinn. Let's put her in our own movie. Let's see how that goes. And not financially, for a variety of reasons, not as financially successful as Suicide Squad or what have you. And so the end result, they never seem to ask why was it not successful. They only say, well, it wasn't.
Yes.
So we're not doing this again.
Yeah. I think it's largely marketing for that movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
Because
yeah.
what was it even, what did it even, what did it look like?
Oh, you're preaching to the choir, James.
Yeah, did you see the director of that came out and made some very subtle remarks about how maybe they tweaked that movie more than she would have liked?
To make it more comedic?
I don't know. Because okay, it was very vague.
It's good we have all the information.
And she might
here.
Not have even been talking about that. She might have been talking about a different project. But I'm presuming that that's Ooh. What it was actually about.
Oh, my goodness.
Am I still preaching to the choir?
No, you've lost me.
Well, I think I got something that's going to pull your eye back in.
Okay.
Because this is via Murphy's Multiverse.
I love it.
Thank you.
Just first of all, whoever you are, Murphy, I presume.
Yep.
I love your website.
And the different dimensions you inhabit.
I guess so, yeah. I hope that the logo is just like, it's your fairly standard issue nerd, but mm-hmm. he's wearing different logo t-shirts.
Yeah, right.
And it's just, they exist in like a, like some sort of multiversal helix or something like that. He's, in one he's wearing a Marvel t-shirt, the other's wearing a DC t-shirt.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool, right?
So
they're the only two dimensions.
Yeah. He said Evan Peters is joining WandaVision in a key role. Evan Peters, who you might know, played Quicksilver in some of the X-Men movies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's the character that they get in to do something, but then he either is busy so he can't contribute to the rest of the movie or he gets injured somehow.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and speculation is running rampant because WandaVision is all about jumping dimensions, et cetera, so forth.
Mm.
Is he going to be playing a version of Quicksilver and they somehow create or jump over to a dimension.
Yeah, right.
The X-Men dimension.
Is this the thing that finally introduces the X-Men?
No, briefly maybe.
Briefly maybe.
I think there's definitely a chance that they could hop over to that universe.
Yeah.
Quick, or maybe you just go, this is a universe that Wanda briefly created in her mind and then destroyed. And that's the entire X-Men universe. Yeah. Wiped out.
I mean, again, this is we're in a world of possibilities. It could also be, you know, she briefly goes into that dimension and then energies from the dimension leak into the regular dimension.
And she's like, stop, exactly. But it's too late.
Mutants.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm. But I don't think this means he's going to come over as the new Quicksilver with the old Quicksilver dead or anything like that.
That'd really be doing Aaron Taylor Johnson dirty if they were like.
I don't think he even wants to come back. I think he's like, I'm done with that. I'm busy just thinking about that Godzilla movie I was in.
That's right, yeah.
That's what he's all about these days.
Why wasn't it an NC-17 Godzilla movie? The way I wanted to die is just my eyeballs squirting out from between Godzilla's toes.
That's
right.
That's exactly right.
I got done dirty.
Yeah. No, that's one of the shows I'm really looking forward to. I know they're also talking about that all of these shows seem to be going back into production like this and Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And all of those, they're ramping up again. Mm-hmm. And they also mentioned that Falcon and Winter Soldier, if it gets a second season, which, it almost certainly will, they're going to retitle it. So it won't be the Falcon and Winter Soldier. It'll be like Two Captain America Boys, or whatever it becomes.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, yeah. Or the Falcon and a Captain America, or a Captain America and a
Winter Soldier. Okay, right,
whatever, whatever they end up doing.
Mm.
Or Bucky's dead now and it's just Captain America.
Or Falcon and Winter Soldier. Brackets, they still haven't decided. They're still fighting over it. Parentheses, the shield. Parentheses, it's a metaphor for the role of Captain America. It's just symbolic.
Mm, but it's also literal.
It's a literal shield. You have to have it if you're Captain America. I mean, you're Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
But he's not here, is he?
Not here. He's in a retirement home being like, I don't know what he does, to be honest. Just being content.
Mm.
Just being content.
Nice.
Last bit of news. This has got to be short, isn't it? That's all right. Is it? Look, man, I'm tired.
You've got to go do baby stuff. I understand.
Maybe we'll come back and maybe we'll record something for this later, but maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe this will be it. So DC Comics has cut ties with Diamond Distributors.
Oh, yes.
So they are, of course, the company which had the monopoly on all of the distribution of comics, pretty much. They do all the Image, all the Marvel, everything. Yeah. They ran a lot of publishing houses out of business, didn't they?
They're like the mob, but for publishing, yes.
And now they're like the mob, as in they've been taken over by far cooler criminal organizations.
Oh,
is that
goodness.
What happened to the mob?
I think so. I think they're still just the mob.
Yeah, but I don't think they're they're not hip and cool anymore. Right. I think, you know, you got your Sopranos and that's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's a good stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then you got some Australia mob stuff where it's just a bunch of Melbourne pricks killing each other, which they tried to make a big deal of. But, you know, if these 12 fuckwits want to kill each other, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Right.
That's what a tale.
Mm.
What a story to tell. Just fuck with shooting each other. Anyway, sorry.
I think what happened there is they committed to like 5 seasons of that.
Yeah.
And then they realised they only had one decent story to tell.
It's not a bad story, to be fair. Yeah. So, and what else was I going to say? So, yeah, so basically DC have cut ties and they're now going with Lunar Distributions and UCS Comic Distributors for periodical releases and Penguin Random House for graphic novels and collected editions.
Ooh.
So they're putting their eggs in different baskets. Mm-hmm. That's going to start later this month. Diamond will be fulfilling orders placed through June 1st.
Uh-huh.
And then that's it.
Unless they decide to, you know, hold them back for some...
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the mob would.
I don't know if they can. Maybe they will. But the mob's not cool anymore. Haven't I established that already?
You've very much established it, yes.
I hope there's no one listening in the mob and being like, I'll show you what's cool. And they come to my house and, what's a mob thing? Horse head in the bed? But if they did the horse head in the bed, I'd be like, we've seen this.
We've seen it so many times. But then maybe it's just a
maybe
classic.
A horse body without the head. I'd be like, okay, you're mixing it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I've thought of that now. So
maybe,
if I see that, I'm not going to be impressed.
Maybe like a completely de-skeletonized horse. Like it's just a sack of horse. You're like, how do you even do that? Wow.
Wow. The mob's cool again.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So I
and then
think...
later you get the skeleton. Like maybe it's been assembled in your living room. You're wow.
I think DC were blindsided by them not being able to fulfill these things. Because comic distribution through a pandemic, that's something that can still very much happen, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I know you still need hands on boots on the ground to get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can still do digital stuff and all that. And I'd imagine DC were very upset if they're cutting ties to make this move. So this is a pretty big deal. And I think it's probably for the better.
I think so too, yeah.
Maybe in the long run. But I don't know. And I've never known. What do you know?
Also nothing. Wow. You threw it at me like I would know anything. That's amazing. You do have baby brain. What's this guy know?
Is there any other news or are we just going to
Let me find out.
Jump over.
Let me check real quick.
Mm. Bum, 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 bum.
What I'll do is I'll check the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group because
they're always like
way ahead of the curve.
You want some hot tops?
You want some hot tops, exactly.
It's a great group. If you want to jump in, please do. Please do. You know what I mean?
Do director's cuts make better films or video? That's in there.
Mm. In summary.
Yep.
Sometimes.
Sometimes they do.
There is an article here that mentions, posters by Tommy Gillies, talked about how 90% of theatres are expected to open for Christopher Nolan's Tenet, which could end up resulting in the movie actually being released. But also a lot of the major heavily populated areas like your LAs and your New York might not be part of that 90%. So it's still, I saw another article which means that that might not go ahead because even though it's 90%, you need those key cities to make this work.
Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, so there's still very much, I've seen multiple articles this week that are like, Tenet's definitely coming out. And it's like, don't hold your horses, hold your horse skeletons.
So don't hold your horses?
I would say WTS.
Oh, here's one for you.
Yeah.
This is from earlier in the week. Upgrade, TV series sequel to Lee Whannell's sci-fi movie in the works at Blumhouse. What do you reckon about that, James, as an idea, as a concept? Co-created, executive produced by Whannell and Tim Walsh from Treadstone.
Very exciting stuff.
So it's a showrunner. This is from Deadline. So you know this is just the raw story, James.
Hot stuff.
Very exciting. In the writer's room, which is breaking stories and writing scripts for Upgrade's first season, Whannell and Walsh are joined by writer-producers Crystal Ziv Houghton and James Rowland, who ran the second season of Blumhouse's TV USA Network horror series The Purge, also an offshoot from a Blumhouse movie title. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder, it's interesting because, again, I liked Upgrade a lot, but it's a one and done, isn't it? Mm. Is it a continuation? I can't really tell.
I think it is, and I believe that...
We might spoil Upgrade here for a second, second.
The divide, the system, the upgrade, I think is supposed to jump to a different person.
Oh,
I believe that's
right.
The idea. I think I saw that in some of the things.
Okay, so does it use up the previous host and then it has to move?
Potentially, yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
It runs a bloody ragged, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
And then moves on. Okay, so,
that's really interesting. It could be a Quantum Leap style, but horrifying Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Where it has to move to it moves to another person's body and they have all sorts of personal problems and they have to, they need to solve, but he just murders people.
He just murders people, yeah.
Moves to the next body.
I think there's also enough in that universe where you could definitely continue it.
Again, we had in that movie, we had a whole bunch of people who have different implants and cybernetic enhancements and stuff like that. Gun hands.
Gun hands and such.
So forth, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
We had a quick 5 to 6 hour break in the middle there, didn't
sure
we, Mason?
Did now. Now it's Weekly Planet After Dark.
Absolutely it is.
Now it's a bit sexier.
It is.
It would be, except you've got a kid in the room.
Well, it's not very sexy, is
no.
it? You know, some people love this. Like a dad holding a baby, they're like, ooh, that's my jam.
Oh, that's true.
I think you have to be a better looking dad, though. You have to be like a Jason Momoa or Ryan Gosling. Like a me, it's like, ugh.
Wow.
You know?
We should test that as some sort of fun viral video. I think that would be, it'll be all like, you know, big stinger title and all that sort of stuff. And be like, is this dad sexy enough for you not to vomit when you see him? It'll just be you out on the street.
It should be me struggling to fold up a pram or something like that.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay,
let's,
cool.
What are you doing after the show? I've got time for this. Yeah, but actually, the good news is, because we're able to take that break, we've put together a topic.
That's right.
I mean, you would have probably known that from the title of the episode for this week.
Now, let's keep it quiet for people. Okay. Let's have the title be Just News. Then people are blown away.
They'll be like, hot stuff.
Yeah, they won't.
Won't well, people might, not read, not well, they, click on it then?
Well,
no?
They might be like, yeah, I don't want to listen to this one.
How about I call it something like Fan Theories Hot Stuff?
Nice.
I think people will be really
Fan Theories Hot Stuff Sexy Dads.
Okay. Perfect. So we've actually done this before, episode 234 or something like that. Collins was kind enough to send across a list of the ones that we did cover. So we did do the Joker from the Dark Knight is former military and E.T. is a Jedi. Kyle Reese is not John Connor's father, a bunch of things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think we did that Snowpiercer Willy Wonka one, but I feel like we need to mention it because okay. I've been sent it quite a bit. And I have to watch that video to kind of explain it. And I'm just,
We're not capable right now.
I'm just not. I'm just can't do it, Mason. Yeah. Yeah, so we've got a bunch of fan theories that we're going to run through. Put some up on patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. We put it up on Twitter, and of course we put it up in the Facebook Great Mates group.
Now, what I like about a fan theory episode is some of them are like sort of well-known established fan theories that are on the internet, and people have made videos, and like the Snowpiercer one, they've made essays, that, you know, all this sort of stuff, blog posts, and, you know, they've compared and contrasted with photos and video clips, and they've put them side by side and whatever. And some of them are just people saw the call out and just are saying a random thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I really appreciate. I think it's their own headcanon. They're just like,
absolutely,
this is definitely the case.
Just firing it off. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to kick it off, or would you like to kick
it off? I've got one of the crazy ones from, this Love is from it. Will Scheel. It says, Batman is actually a spirit or demon like Ghost Rider. It just finds a new billionaire, linking all the Batman movies.
Oh, that's terrific.
I think that'd be very good.
So they're just no good billionaires.
They're just regular no good billionaires. Yeah, that's right. And then,
does he kill their parents? I guess it does, right? Because it gets them young.
Oh, I was going to. Because
they've all lost parents.
I see what you're saying there. The way when I saw it initially, this particular one, my real thought was they're just existing billionaires. Mm. So it's like Elon Musk or whatever.
Yeah.
He's just out there building his batteries and calling people pedophiles. And then all of a sudden he's just up in one of his penthouses and the Batman spirit goes into his head, and all of a sudden he's given the origin story.
Oh, okay.
He's like, oh.
So he just thinks everybody calls him Bruce Wayne and all that, but he's really just
this. But he's an eccentric billionaire, so people let him get away with it.
Yeah, right, because they're like, yeah, well, he can do anything. He's not going to jail, is he?
But I also like to think that this spirit also, like, tortures them.
Yes.
It keeps teaching them that. It keeps reminding them they're terrible billionaires.
It's the bat, right? It's the bat crashing through the window. That's got to be it, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
I love that theory. Butt. That's so great. I've got one that isn't, it's not similar. We're just going to rapid fire these, I guess. Will get caught on, but that's fine. So Marco on the Facebook group says, there was this theory that Doc Brown tried to commit suicide with the DeLorean, but it accidentally worked instead. Because, you know, everything that guy makes doesn't work.
Oh, right.
Well, we see that in the past. But then he's got the dog food machine. It's like, some things do work. It's a dog food machine.
And he's like, I tried to kill myself with the dog food machine, but I guess get being fed delicious dog food. Yum, yum, yum.
There's the theory that also that mind reading device actually works, because he kind of makes some vague approximations that might be accurate, but I think the idea is that none of his stuff really works. But that would mean he attempted to kill his dog.
Oh, that's wow. Well, you can't get away with that in a Hollywood movie, can you?
No.
You feed it with a dog food machine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would like to see a...
How old is that dog? Like 20 plus?
Yeah, maybe.
It goes back to 1955, and Back to the Future is set in like the mid-80s.
Yes.
It's like a 30-year-old dog.
It's a very old dog.
He's doing that right, isn't he?
Maybe that's what the dog food machine does. It gives you an immortal dog.
That's right, yeah.
I was going to say, maybe the Back to the Future franchise could have gone in a whole different direction if they were like, all right, we're done with time travel. Now it's mind reading helmet. Now it's like they're different every single movie they give, it's a different wacky invention that sort of worked.
They could call it Let's Get Back to That Mind Reading Helmet.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. What are we, the third one's just the dog food machine. You know that dog food machine?
Yeah.
It's just that.
Big business has stolen the dog food machine, and it's going to make everybody's dogs immortal, and it's going to ruin the dog breeding industry, so they've got to stop it.
I like the idea of a Back to the Future universe where it's the same characters but different inventions. I think that's really fun.
I think it would be good.
We're never getting a sequel until Robert Zemeckis dies. But
it's true.
When that happens.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
I mean, that's... As soon as he's out of the picture, we're getting another one,
right? Immediately.
Yeah.
I reckon it's probably ready to go. I reckon maybe contracts have been signed behind his back and stuff.
I think there's also a good chance that he'll be like, I had a good idea and we're doing one anyway. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
I just wouldn't put anything off the table. Mm. Yeah. What else we got?
It's a set on the Polar Express. Teaming up those universes. Wow, your baby vomits really loud.
Jeremy says, not sure if this counts, but I think the resolution for Mysterio being alive in the next Spider-Man movie will be that he's using a stunt double at the end of Far From Home. If Mysterio did use a stunt double, that would also cancel out Peter murdered him as well. If they're like, prove that he was alive, that would get him off the hook. It wouldn't resolve his like identity being revealed, but it would solve that. Mysterio is definitely coming back in some form, right?
Because
he's a team. Like, he's not one guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Uh-huh.
So...
I see. Even if real Mysterio, even if Quentin Beck dies,
yeah, because that machine can make anything.
That is true.
Yeah,
and all the team got away.
All the team got away. Some of the team got away.
Unless Shield ran them all up and shot them.
Yeah,
they might have done.
Yeah, but they were run by bloody Ben Mendo. He didn't know what was up. Remember?
That's probably true.
He was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'd hate being Nick Fury.
Yeah, I've never shot a man in the back of the head.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm on
You've
that
got
one.
A lot to learn about being the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Not wrong. Not wrong.
Mm. Well, I also read a theory recently that Quentin Beck never actually worked for Stark Industries. He just snuck his way in. But I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's some other guy who took over the identity of Quentin Beck.
That's exactly it, yeah. Who knows, really?
It is exactly it. You're right, James.
That's exactly it.
Exactly
I'm
right.
happy to say it. Mm. We also had a few theories that didn't kind of work out in the last one because it was like we had like some Endgame theories because we did it before Endgame. So we got to be careful what we talk about because this will come back and bite us in the ass. People were like, you said that Quentin Beck was actually a robot or whatever we said, but we didn't say that.
To be clear, we didn't say it, and also we don't stand by anything we say.
Yeah, if anything.
Not even one thing.
The people listening to this, you stand by what you say, and you're an idiot.
Yeah. We got him.
All right, I'm just going to put this baby, put her in a little crib. Saying this to you earlier, but like a sleeping baby, there's like nothing that looks more comfortable.
Oh my God, absolutely.
And people spend their entire life trying to recapture that kind of peace, just that blank mindset.
Just chasing the dragon of a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And you can't anymore because your body's all stretched out and warped from being old.
That's right, and gravity and whatevs.
Yeah, that's right. It. You just need a memory foam and whatever. It still doesn't work.
You can't, and if you go to sleep thinking about literally anything that's happening in the world, you just wake up screaming. That's
right.
That's how everything's going.
Yeah.
How about this for a theory?
I'm ready.
It's from Connor. A darker Star Wars theory is that Anakin accidentally, though I wouldn't say accidentally, I would say probably on purpose, using the Force to make Padme love him over the course of Episode 2. Because at the start, she's like, this guy's clearly insane.
I knew him when he was a little kid. And it was weird. It's weird now.
So just the idea that...
I had to take him to go potty that one time.
Yeah, that's right. He shit his pants on the spaceship. Yeah,
but he still does it now, but I love him for some reason. must be evil Force magic.
But that makes sense because why would she like him? He's insane. And there's a moment where he's like, I've murdered everyone. And she's like, I love you.
Yeah.
That's not right.
That's absolutely not right.
Oh, she did wake up.
Yeah, she's giving me the evil eye. Mate, if you're going to wake up, you need to give us some content, all right? We're starting you early on content. That's right.
So this is going to cut out a number of them, but I thought it's worth mentioning. Sadok says, the main character was actually in a coma/dreaming/imagining all of it. Apply that to any story and you got a fan theory. So that's like Joker gets in the fridge, the Breaking Bad that Walter White died in the car, which we know not to be true because there is a sequel, unless that's also part of it, I guess.
See, that's perfect. That's right. Every single time.
Aliens, Ripley, everything after Aliens is Ripley in a space dream.
But what if everything before Aliens is also in a space dream?
Oh my God.
Right?
Including AVP?
Yep.
Great. Indiana Jones is actually a Han Solo fever dream when he's in carbonite. So it's just, that's all of those. Yeah.
Indiana Jones, when he comes out of the fridge, everything after that is...
Because he would have been incinerated.
He's dying of radiation poisoning. He's just dragging himself through that fake city and just just melting. And he's like, oh, but what if I had an adventure with an alien?
And I had a son. Mm. I had a son and a legacy and I got married.
Oh, my God.
Nah, you're dead, mate. You died.
You died of rads. Not a good kind of rads. Yeah, you're right. That's
There's a lot of that. You could do that for anything, really.
I really enjoy that.
What's that movie where it actually happens, though? The Jude Law movie?
Alfie.
It could be Alfie. You could do it with anything.
I don't have cancer in me balls.
What's
that? I don't have cancer in me bollocks. I mean,
what's the movie with him and Forrest Whitaker and it's like he gets... And earlier on, he gets captured, and then it turns out it was actually a dream.
I don't know.
It's like an action movie. Let me
Alfie's
look it up.
An action movie.
No, I mean action in terms of sexual action.
Oh,
sure.
That's very true.
Who are we talking about?
Jude Law.
Is it
the young pope? Is it the new pope?
Isn't he in a coma in the new pope at the moment? Repo Man.
Oh yeah,
remember that one?
Vaguely. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate a movie that's like forget everything you knew because none of that. The movie Next. Repo Man.
Yeah.
There's a rom-com on the moment.
The young pope where he's in a coma.
Netflix. Yeah.
Maybe it's all a dream. Maybe the whole thing's been a dream.
Maybe he was an old pope the whole time.
Maybe he's an altar boy the whole time. He dreamed of being the pope.
He had like a horrible experience and he's in a... Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Maybe.
How about this one? This one's been around quite a long time and I think Chris Pratt is like, I love this one. Josh says, the kid that Sam Neill talks to at the beginning of Jurassic Park with a raptor claw grows up to be Chris Pratt's character in Jurassic World. And that conversation is why he learned to respect the raptors. Oh,
that's right. Is this the kid he's inexplicably quite rude to?
Yeah, well, he hates kids. He's like, I hate kids and this is how you'd be murdered.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I love
and also, just FYI, all these dinosaurs would have feathers on them. So while you're being murdered, they look ridiculous. You look ridiculous.
Yeah,
exactly. You better hope that the press do not get a photograph of you being murdered, because it'll be on the splashed on the front page and you will look like an absolute goose. This is one that I like a lot.
Okay.
I suspect we were going to do a moratorium on Willy Wonka stuff, but this is one I remember. Mm. Robert David has said, Willy Wonka was expecting to lose kids along the way. His modes of transport get progressively smaller, and the Oompa Loompa songs were choreographed, which I think is, both of those things are true. Like, well, it's
not only that he expected it, he knew when each one was going to do it.
Right.
Because it's that happens in the order of whatevs.
Unless he's got like, I mean, you know, he might have a, he's probably got like a brain for logistics. Maybe he's got a bunch of different modes of transport.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, I never want to seem like I'm wrong. Mm. So maybe sometimes he's got like a paddle boat and it's got 6 seats in it. But he can take some out.
Yeah.
So if like 3 kids were
killed,
I just
thought he had different paddle boats. Not even taking seats out.
Oh, maybe, so maybe that's true, yeah. Or maybe like, what, you know, he loses more kids than he was expecting. So like the paddle boat comes out and it's got like a scarf and a bag on some of the
seats.
So it's like, oh, someone's sitting there. It's not, I know what I'm doing though.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't even worry about it.
Because he does, it's very much like fly by the seat of your pants. That's what it seems that he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's clearly not.
Mm.
What's with that room where everything's like half a chair and everything? Why even build that? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Right.
I do like the theory that he's a Nazi scientist.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Yes.
Yeah. What about this one from Colin? This one I really like. The vat the Joker fell into was a chemical attempt at a Lazarus pit, and that's why he keeps coming back and is crazy.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
Because he's, after he falls in that, his mind snaps, where everybody knows rough origin.
Uh-huh.
But what if it's not just that? Because everybody who comes out of the Lazarus pit
is crazy
it's
for
not
a bit.
Good. Yeah.
But unless it's a very poorly made one, and so he's crazy
forever.
Because
they put bleach
in
it.
They put bleach
They're like,
in it.
This isn't anywhere near the top. I don't know. let's just put a ton of bleach in
Somebody
it.
Somebody peed in it and they're like, well, what do we do? What happens when you pee in a pool? Do you puts bleach as a bleach? Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I quite like that theory.
They put in an aquarium cleaner. So the Joker, in addition to being insane and a horrendous murderer, he also pees blue all the time.
Oh.
Can't help himself.
He's got a big fishy mouth, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Fantastic. Yeah. What about this one? I think there's a chance that something like this will happen in a future Star Wars movie. It's from Steven on Twitter. Ben Solo gives his life essence to save Rey. The dyad merged onto one person. That's partly why Rey's a Skywalker, because she's both Rey and Ben's essence. That's why we don't see Ben Solo's ghost at the end of the movie. He kind of isn't dead. He resides within Rey.
Ah.
I think he's such a fan favorite character.
Yes.
That when they eventually do sequels to these movies,
mm-hmm.
and they will.
Oh, yes.
They will bring him back in some form. Also, they've established time travel in the Star Wars universe.
That's true,
they
yeah.
can do that. But the idea of you could snatch a body out of any point in time and put the his old mind in it from Rey, and it's
exactly.
like Spock can put his mind
in the Free Jack.
The Free Jack averse.
Exactly.
Because Spock,
right.
It's not the same universe.
Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger.
Emilio Estevez.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. I know
I'm
that from you.
I'm Free Jacking this theory.
Everything I know about Free Jack is from you. I have no idea what happens in Free Jack, just from our conversations. But the idea that, I can't remember what I was going to say.
Hijacking people's bodies.
Yeah, it's in Star Trek. I know it's not the same universe.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe it is, because there's theories about that could be the same universe. But, you know, Spock does it. He puts his mind in bones.
What do you think, I guess if you wanted to do that, you would have to lay the, you wouldn't have to.
You'd have to.
I think it would be better if they laid the groundwork for a feasible way of doing that.
Yeah.
Like at this point you could very easily say, I'm back as a Force ghost and, you know, I'm here to give you advice. But
yeah.
You would think that they want to bring him back mind and body.
Right,
so how
okay.
do you do that? Do you use the cloning technology?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, you could. Yeah, absolutely.
And then he comes out like Snoke. And it's like, how do you like this? How do you like this, Ren fanboys?
Oh,
how do you
like it.
This gross, this
like
awful
it.
Gross man? What
I
do you
like
reckon?
It. I don't like
you
it.
You have to like it, though.
I like it a little bit, yeah. I think a lot of Star Wars movies, or movies in general, are reactionary. So I think it could just be whatever.
Yeah, right,
really.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just whatever's popular when the next ones comes out, I feel. Richard says, all 80s and 90s Arnold characters are clones using his DNA from twins. So every single, they're all like super soldiers that they just throw out into the field to stuff.
You could also,
one's a kindergarten teacher.
You could also tie in twins and the sixth day.
That was my next thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You could be like, oh,
I mean, that would also involve time travel because you clone them and send them back. But maybe it's existing technology from the Twinsiverse.
Right.
That's kind of, you know. So that means they made the character from Junior where he's a doctor and pregnant. That means Jingle All the Way. They're just like, this one's a dad.
Sure, yeah.
That's it.
Did they clone the kid or did they?
Well, I don't know. I guess. I don't know.
Did they invent Turbo Man just so you had a mission in mind?
I don't know.
I would love a...
It's all the same universe then. That means that all of these things like the Predator and Commando and I guess Conan is like an apocalyptic future or something. Uh-huh. It's all the one universe and I love that.
Yeah. Or they're all the descendant of Conan the Barbarian maybe. Mm. Like we don't like... Who knows how this system works?
You really don't. And then you've got that weird future gladiator one. Mm. It's like that would just be existing DNA that they throw in and all those kinds of things.
I would watch a Twins 2. Where Danny DeVito has been replaced by Arnold Schwarzenegger from The Sixth Day. So it's two Arnies. One's a man on the run and one's just a man in a big beige suit.
Okay, I got some questions about Twins before we move on.
Yes.
They are going to make a sequel. It's called Triplets and it's going to have Eddie Murphy. That has been written. It has been confirmed that it's in the works at the very least. But I want a prequel. It's just called One Guy and it's just Danny DeVito and he's just running scams.
Yeah, and he's always just looking around being like, ah.
Oh, okay.
His catchphrase would be like, who am I talking to here?
I'm just one guy. Okay.
This is from Ollie Robinson.
Yep.
This is one I like, and it's a movie that I also like, but whenever I rewatch the movie, I never think of it to watch and think about it, so I've never been able to confirm it, but maybe I'll do it later.
Okay.
It's Inception's ambiguous ending isn't actually one. So in Inception... You know whether you're dreaming or not because you have a totem.
Yes.
And Cobb's one allegedly is a little spinning top he has.
Yeah.
And he spins it, and if it stays up forever, he's in a dream. But if it falls over, he knows he's awake.
Yep.
But the theory is that his totem is actually his wedding ring.
Oh, I've heard this one, yeah.
So in his dreams, he claims that he's still married. So if you see him wearing a ring, it's the dream. But he isn't wearing one at the end of the movie. It's not ambiguous. He is, in fact, in the real world at the end of the movie.
I think that might be on purpose as well. I think that might be something Nolan purposely built in, and
it's also...
Just ask him every time in an interview.
That's what I'm talking about. He's not the man who would entertain that because he...
He's not endlessly on Twitter explaining the choices
and
that he makes.
I feel like we make a lot of assumptions about Christopher Nolan.
Because we don't know anything. What's he doing?
But the idea that he feels like the era of movie making he likes is the era where not everything was spelled out.
Yes.
And they would just, people would put things in movies or TV shows and just never explain them.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's from that era where if you were like, hey, Christopher Nolan, is the totem really the thing? He'd be like, well, that's up to you. And that infuriates people because the spinning top thing as well infuriates people because people are like, well, was he awake or not awake? And it's like, well, that's the point. There's no definitive, like life, a lot of these things don't have a definitive ending.
Exactly.
And you
can choose to believe something and that's cool.
So he would never, what I'm saying is he will never.
Yeah.
And that's why I like this one as a theory so much.
I also like that. Because he's so paranoid about being trapped in a dream and people stealing his secrets and thoughts and whatever, that he tells everybody that that's his totem, knowing that he's got the backup one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Good movie, I think. Mm. Not I think. It probably is.
That's right. You are making a stand right there.
This one's a very popular theory about the thing. It's from Matthew.
Yes.
Says
the whole thing was the thing's dream.
Yeah.
It's crashed down. It's like, boy, I hope I don't meet any mean men.
I tell you what, if one of them tries to defibrillate me, I'm going to bite some hands off, I tell you that much. At the end when he hands him a drink, Keith David, the theory is, and this is very popular, that it's actually oil or petrol.
Yes.
And says, thus the laugh he does is because he knows he's found the thing.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, there's no way, I don't think that was intended when they made it.
No, I
think if they ever did a sequel, which they did in the video game.
Oh, right, yeah.
But there was also talk that I remember a few years back that they were going to actually do a sequel with Kurt Russell and maybe they were like weathered from being caught in the snow for too long or whatever. But now with de-aging, I mean, you wouldn't because it would cost way too much and it wouldn't make money. But you could make a proper sequel and just be like, it's set right after.
I wish we lived in the golden age of Hollywood where the people would just make movies that didn't make any money.
I know, right?
The dream where it was like...
I mean, it still happens by accident.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, throw it at the wall, see what sticks, you know, maybe.
Would you want a thing sequel?
Yeah, Oh, yeah.
I think it would be interesting if you could set it in the modern day, say, and the thing just went on to be, I know, pick a character.
The president.
The president, sure. But, like, say Kurt Russell goes on to become a CEO and he's the thing. Like, he kind of evolved.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Like, well, this is how I take over. I become a billionaire.
Kurt Russell. You wouldn't have to Kurt Russell,
exactly.
And that sort of shades of Terminator Dark Fate.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring that up, but
I think it's a fine movie. It's okay.
I think it's a fine movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the idea of like, well, what do you do if your immortal star ages?
Yeah.
You ride around it. Works for me.
Old Arnie, we'd never seen it before, had we?
We'd never
also
seen
a clone
it, yeah.
from Twins or something.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm gonna give you this one.
All right.
Because
you're gonna give it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Because I don't know any of the this is a theory.
This is a Harry Potter one, isn't it?
No, this is based on a movie that I've never seen, nor have I seen the musical that it was based on.
So it's not the movie Free Jack.
It's not the movie Free Jack, no. Maybe I haven't seen the movie Free Jack.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. It's about the movie Les Miserables. So have you seen Les Miserables?
I've seen all versions of that, yes.
Have you really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well then.
I've maybe read some of the book also.
Only you can tell me how entertaining this fan theory is, because it's quite long as well.
Oh, God.
Cosette in Les Miserables is actually the child of Fantine and Jean Valjean.
How?
I don't know, because I don't know who those characters are.
Okay, I guess it's...
You can cut this one out. I'm just trying to torture you.
I guess it's possible, but they would have to have been in a relationship.
Yes? For who are they?
It's too much for me to explain it to you.
Okay,
have you seen any of it?
No.
No, I can't explain
all
it
right,
to
look,
you.
I'm just going to say, this is based in the song I Dreamed a Dream when Fantine says, he was gone when autumn came, as this matches with the time frame of Valjean's release from prison, and then he's going into hiding, and the time jump between Valjean's release and the time we meet Fantine is the same age as Cosette.
You know
Cosette?
What? That's actually solid.
There you
and
go.
And because also, he was a bad dude, and God turned him around. Like he was a thief and he hated everybody and whatever. So
are we talking about Jackman or?
All versions, really.
No, I mean Jackman who's the other actor in that movie?
Russell Crowe?
So it's not Russell Crowe.
No.
Okay.
Jean Valjean is Jackman.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Liam Neeson, if you're talking about the non-musical version from the late 90s.
I was.
Great. What about this one? I like this theory. This is from Josh and also Spencer, who's got kind of a follow-up one. A theory I love but don't believe is Rumbledore, where Albus Dumbledore is a time-traveling Ron Weasley.
Oh, yes.
Right. Spencer follows that up by saying, Dumbledore dies at some point and Ron Weasley uses the time turner in the future to go to the past to become Dumbledore, which might explain also the actor change.
Yeah, right, uh-huh.
I don't believe Ron is competent enough a wizard to do that.
Right.
But also, yet exactly. Mm. And the book version probably more so. And there is alternate futures and timelines from the stage show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not impossible, mm-hmm. but I would say probably not.
Okay, right.
And also not, definitely not. Until J.K. Rowling on Twitter is just like, yeah, whatever. Just the opposite. Of,
when she accidentally cuts it, what'll happen is she'll accidentally cut and paste a piece of her, you know, new manuscript of her new book into Twitter and accidentally tweet it at somebody.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a bunch of Harry Potter ones, but I thought I got to pick at least one. Do you like the show Friends, Mason?
I love the show Friends.
But do you prefer the show Friends or Seinfeld? Where do you stand on that?
Seinfeld. No question.
That's right. That's correct. That's the right answer.
I thought you were going to say, do I prefer the show Friends or Friends or Rom the Band?
Oh, that's a
the band
question.
Friends
yeah,
Rom,
it's a good band, isn't it? So this
Americans
is...
out there, go to Spotify, look up the band Friends or Rom.
Yes.
You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Franco on American, you got to love it.
That's NoFX.
That's NoFX. Never had so much fun.
That's a good song.
Friends or Rom, there you go.
Uh-huh.
Mahaley says, Phoebe is at, oh, what? Curious, Friends or Seinfeld people?
Oh yeah,
I'm curious.
Yeah, let us know.
Phoebe is actually.
Well, we want to know what kind of crowd we got.
Yeah, absolutely.
There.
Have we got a bunch of Joeys or have we got a bunch of Chandlers?
Mm.
One of them is Seinfeld.
That's very true.
Phoebe is actually a homeless drug addict, looking in the window of Central Perk and imagining the life of five friends and the one she would share with them.
This is another all a dream scenario.
Yes,
so she's been out there for a decade.
Oh, they snuck one in. I didn't even notice.
Sure
I thought I covered
them
all.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I know because she has had life on the streets and. No troubles, and she grew up an orphan and all of those kinds of things,
yeah.
I believe. Mm. So, yeah, that's where we're at with that.
Mm. Mm.
Are you into it or you been to it? We should have done a rating system. It's too late now, isn't it? Are you been to it?
I think I'm been to it. Yeah, it's too sad also.
It's very sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. This one we've talked about before, but why not? Jeweler says Tom Hardy Mad Max is Boomerang Kid Mad Max from Mad Max 2.
Yeah, right.
The dog boy.
Mm-hmm.
So all the Mad Max movies appear to be set in different universes.
Yes,
like
exactly.
They're loosely connected, and it's clearly supposed to be the same character, but George Miller is not really hung up on continuity or any of that, which I don't have a problem with because they all sort of stand on their own anyway.
Would you like to see sequels to all the Mad Max movies, but just from that their individual universes? So we get a Mad Max 2, but it's the sequel to the original Mad Max that's just set in Dandenong or wherever it's set.
Yeah. So no sand is what you're saying.
No sand at all. Exactly. There's no water crisis. There's no nothing.
Yeah. It's just highway patrols, cars.
It's just him. It's just him doing a highway patrol, and occasionally people ask him about that time that, you know,
his family were run over.
Yeah.
And he handcuffed that dude to a car.
That's right.
And was like, saw your leg off, mate.
Yeah.
And I guess Saw could also be in the same universe. Saw could be the sequel because Saw borrowed that idea. To saw your leg off.
That's true.
That's why it's called Saw. It should have been called Saw Your Leg Off. Getting a lot of posters out there.
I bet you won't.
A lot of poster work this week.
And there's just a guy behind the two wave. Oh, you know, it's just because he's on the ground in Saw. He spends the whole movie on the ground pretending to be a dead body, and it's just a quick pan to him every. The director's cuts a quick pan to him every 2 minutes, going like, psh, as if you would.
You wouldn't.
As if you're gonna. Oh, he did it.
He did it.
He did it. I didn't think he was gonna do it. He did it. I wish someone else was here, but I've killed everyone.
I like that Tom Hardy is the boomerang boy, because he would have, I know he's got like the same injury and he's got the family, but it's also, but also his family is different than the previous Mad Max's family. Yes, they kind of play fast and loose with the kids that he has in it.
Also, I would guess that breaking your legs a fairly common injury. In this universe, and
he probably saw the Mad Max leg brace and went, I could do that. Same with the jacket and the gun. He's like, that dude was like the coolest fucking dude I've ever seen. So that's my look.
Probably doesn't even need the leg brace. He's probably just like, I'll make my own as a fashion statement.
Yeah, and he just switches it every day.
It's like glasses that don't have any lenses in
them. Yeah, that's right, exactly.
It's a fashion leg brace.
Looks great.
Speaking of, I nearly went, thank you. This is from James Weir. This is also Mad Max. The Mad Max Wasteland exists outside of Mega City 1 from Judge Dredd.
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot.
So in the Judge Dreddiverse, and I'm not sure if we're talking about the movie or the comic book.
Which movie? The Stallone one.
The Stallone one.
Yeah.
But there's Mega City 1, which is the super high-tech, super huge, super overpopulated city. But if you leave Mega City 1, outside is the Cursed Earth.
Yes.
Which is just sort of a blasted atomic wasteland, which is pretty much the Mad Max universe.
Yeah, that's not
wrong.
So
again, obviously.
You could say like anything's out there. You could say Dune is out there.
Oh.
You could say anything's out there.
You could say out there is all a dream.
You could say that, couldn't
you? You could say that outside of Mega City 1, there's a hospital and everybody in the hospital's in a coma having a dream. But you're right. I'm only the sort of Mad Max 2 and up could be out there, I feel. Again, just.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't be Mega City 1 and then outside of Mega City 1 is just.
Ballarat or whatever.
It's Ballarat.
It's Kyneton.
It's cool.
Yeah. There's a local reference for you. Cooper Petey?
Yeah, Cooper Petey would do it. Yeah. Laverton? Yeah, near the airport?
Bacchus Marsh?
Bacchus Marsh.
Yeah. Here we go. What about this one? I quite like this one.
Mm-hmm.
DB Something, speaking of The Office, I heard that Toby from The American Office is the Scranton Strangler, and I got to say I'd be okay with that in my headcanon thoughts. Toby ends up being on the jury for the Scranton Strangler.
Oh.
So it's also, I mean, there's a number of theories behind this because he's a weird creep for one, but other reasons. But if he's on the jury.
Now, Toby's the one who's always like.
The HR guy.
He's always like. Oh,
Michael hates him. Yeah.
Yes.
But the idea also that he, if he was on the jury, perhaps he could influence them to pin it on this other guy.
There are other theories I
don't have in front of me about that, but I quite like that one.
I very much, what I like about this kind of fan theory is the idea that The Office, while it, you know, The Office swings from like goofy to like poignant, romantic and bittersweet and, you know, what's life all about and careers and is it all worth it kind of thing.
Yes.
That's the thrust of the show, but the producers put in a little thing about one of the main characters being a horrible serial killer. They put it in just for the real fans, you know?
Actually, I got, speaking of sitcoms, this is quite a good one from Roy on the Patreon. Mm. I read one that Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle is Walter White. We never know the family's surname. He has a keen interest in chemistry. He would grow up to look like his dad, played by Bryan Cranston. Mm-hmm. He has a strong bond with our grandfather, Walter. So, yeah, I mean, the timeline is not right, so I guess.
The grandfather is Walter.
I guess. I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe that is Walter White.
Yeah.
How about this? This is the new every it's all a dream.
Okay.
It's anybody in Malcolm in the Middle could potentially be Walter White from Breaking Bad. They either grew up to become him or they were him and they
even
changed
their Craig?
Own. Yeah, whoever that is, absolutely.
Terrific. Oh my goodness. Were you
confused as a kid when you'd watch a TV show and a character was called Craig?
Yeah, like what kind of
name is Craig?
Yeah.
We say Craig.
We say Greg.
We say Greg.
If we're thinking of Greg.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. We also say Graham.
Yes, we do. What do they say?
Graham. They say Graham.
Like Graham crackers.
Like Graham crackers.
Oh my goodness.
Graham crackers. Go to your local supermarket and be like, excuse me, sir, might I have a box of Graham crackers?
They'll help you.
Might I have a Graham biscuit, please? One container of Graham biscuits, thank you.
Gareth has said, Boba Fett is the person that killed Owen and Beru. Vader wanted to interrogate the residents from the farm to find the droids and not have them killed. That's why he specifically told Fett no disintegrations when he sends the bounty hunters after Han and co. Oh, I think maybe an old canon there were hints towards that. Probably yeah, right. not. I don't know. I don't know where anything's at with Star Wars anymore. Uh-huh. But yeah, that's not... I mean, he was on Tatooine as well.
That's true.
So he could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
I also like it, yeah.
Because he's a dumbass. He would do that.
He probably didn't even mean to do it.
No, that's right.
Probably like, can you go and ask them some questions?
Yeah.
He's like, disintegrate him, got it.
I'm surprised he got the right house, if I'm honest.
Maybe he didn't get the right house. Maybe he was completely unrelated. Maybe he was sent to deliver a package to the next house miles over. And he just showed up and he's like, all right. And maybe he stumbled and he dropped the box of glass, you know, a glass bottle of blue milk or whatever. And he's like, well, I've got to disintegrate everyone now.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So I'm just
or also... it's like, I'm ashamed. I'm going to disintegrate myself. And he accidentally disintegrated like Owen and Aunt Beru.
So I'm just also looking at my phone because I can't get the Facebook page to load properly. Oh, so I'm just, oop.
You're a real one-man band over there. For people who can't see this, which is everyone, literally everyone on earth except me, you are on your phone, you're on your computer, and you're also sort of like nudging your baby's bed with your foot.
Like I'm cracking a cymbal or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people have talked about Bigger Luke. That is a theory we've talked about before. That's from the last episode we did.
It's true.
So I'm not going to get into it. But basically it's a Luke clone theory. You can look into it, but it's one of my favorite Star Wars theories.
You can look into it by listening to that episode of the podcast.
Absolutely you can. I actually have one more, but okay. Do you have any more before I get onto that one? It's a good one too.
Well, I'm sure I can find one, but of course somebody's written here. Thomas McCoy has written, what about Greece? Theory is Sandy died at the beginning. Of course she did.
Yeah, I've heard also like they both die because it's all a weird hyper-reality. Yeah.
Well,
but if they die, is it their heaven?
Wow, imagine your heaven.
Or is Frenchie imagining it?
Imagine your heaven.
Is there a character called Frenchie in that? Greece.
Imagine your heaven is going back to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for some people it is.
Mm.
My advice for people in school, don't peek in school. Just do something better.
William Egan has written, Ash Ketchum died in the first episode of Pokemon, which is why he doesn't age in the show. That's the only reason.
So what are his adventures are all...
post-mortem, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But also, having not seen the first episode of Pokemon, is there a scene where he narrowly avoids his own death?
There's a scene where he shoots himself.
Oh, God. there's a scene where his wife shows up, the Sixth Sense style, and shoots him. And then it just cuts to 6 months later, and he's like, well, I've changed my life, and I'm a Pokemon trainer now.
I think you mean Donnie Wahlberg.
Oh, whatever.
It doesn't matter, does it?
No, it absolutely does not.
Donnie Wahlberg got so skinny for that movie.
Mm.
So do you want my last one?
Yes, please.
From Cam says, John Wick is just a training program for Neo.
Oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So that whole – because we don't really know how long the training programs take. In the video game Path of Neo, which is fantastic, you go in and you do all the kung fu and you do levels and stuff.
Yeah, huh.
So I guess it would make sense that in real time – like in real time it's like seconds, but maybe he lives out this whole life of this guy whose wife dies, that his dog dies, and then he goes on several adventures.
What does that teach him though?
Kung just fighting. But it's the motivation to get good at fighting because it's why you endeavor to. No, wait a minute. Because he already knows how to fight at the start of those movies.
Yep.
So is it just trauma? Is it trauma
maybe
training?
What it is. Yeah, maybe it's trauma training.
It doesn't work at all.
Nope, it's bad. It's bad and weird.
I like it. I still like it. Yeah.
This is from Alex McKinney, and he's linked to a Reddit article, so you know it must be true. It says, this is another Office one. In the office, the accountants were laundering money.
Oh, mate, I saw that, and I'm like, I can't get into this whole Reddit thread right now.
Well, I'm gonna have a quick browse of it.
Sure.
And just I wanna see it says this is from R Fan Theories from Burn Notice Lover. So you know he likes quality television. One of the many odd things about Dunder Mifflin Scranton is that there are three accounts doing a job that could easily be done by one.
Yeah, or an offsite like person doing it on a program. Right, right. Yeah.
He says, I think that's because a small part of Dunder Mifflin is involved in some sort of criminal business and Angela, Oscar, and Kevin are all involved.
I think Kevin maybe unwittingly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because he doesn't know.
Apparently, the evidence, Dwight suspicions, unrealistically high profits for a small-town paper business.
Sure. It's the only branch that does well.
Oh, really? Okay, out of the interesting. Whole, okay.
Yeah.
But that's because they're all good friends and they work together. Maybe. And then
I could imagine that Angela would be running that and they wouldn't know.
Oh, I see. You think so? Yeah.
Angela or Oscar could do it, unless Kevin's doing the long con and he's not really a stupid idiot man.
Yeah, right. Mm. Yeah. Point three, precedent for upper management turning a blind eye towards unethical illegal practices.
Sure.
Number four, behavior of the accountants.
Yep.
Angela's very tightly wound, extremely irritable all of the time because she's stressed out about being caught.
Yeah.
Kevin's a good gambler. Oscar is one of the few normal people in the office and he doesn't react to the cameras because he knows the best way to go unnoticed is just to play it cool.
Very true.
And five, post-documentary careers. Once the cameras are gone, Oscar runs for office, Angela marries Dwight, and Kevin runs a bar.
Yeah, Kevin gets fired, but I think at that point, if he's laundering money, he's like, I don't care.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Kevin explains how he got the bar, but the story is idiotic. He claims that so many people wanted to buy him drinks, the bar decided it was cheaper to make him a partner. I think that Kevin just bought a bar with his dirty money and made that story up.
Oh my God, he Ozarked it.
Yeah, yeah. Angela is married to Dwight, who runs a successful farm, so she doesn't need to use her cash. Okay.
Yeah, because you could say a lot of that stuff is stuff you sell at farmers markets for cash.
Yeah.
Like the beets that he sells.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. There you go. Well, that's a good one.
That's a great theory.
Again, I love the idea of just a nice... just a nice sitcom that's supposed to make you feel good about your lot in life and you watch it and you go, yeah.
Oh, my God.
These guys are Ozarking it. They're Ozarking it and they're Dextering it.
Oh, that's really good. I think that's all the fan theories we've got, though. I love these, though. We should do this more often.
I think we should, yeah.
Yeah, or at least once every 100 episodes.
What happens? Yeah, exactly. What happens is we say, can we get some fan theories? And we get so many that we're like, oh no, we've made a mistake. Yeah. There's too many fan theories.
Let's not think about this ever again.
And sometimes we're like, people haven't thought that through. And then you look at it and you know, no, that's actually brilliant.
Well, we were going to do Rick and Morty fan theories. And I'm like, I don't want to be like, so Pickle Rick is, so the real Rick was Morty went into, the clone of Morty's mum is Rick, was Rick's mum. No, Rick is Morty's pickle. And he got his pickles sewed onto Morty's dick. So Morty's dick is a pickle. And
I would listen to that for an hour, I'll be honest with you. What we'd have to do would just get you talking and then I put flashcards with various characters on them and maybe keywords and you just have to integrate it into your theory.
Jerry is Pickle Rick. there's a Pickle Jerry because there's a Pickle Jerry universe where Jerry is Pickle Rick, but oh God.
Yes, precisely.
But if you do have any fan theories, leave them below or wherever this goes up, this might be a video this week, I think. So that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if it is a video, thanks for watching, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next segment of the show, Mason.
Oh, it's what we read and what we going to read.
What we going to read. Yay. Sorry for my baby, everybody, but what do you want me to do?
Oh, is that?
What do you want me to do?
Is that what you say to the baby when the baby makes noise? Do you go, yay? Is this your general enthusiasm?
No, that's my
podcast?
General enthusiasm.
Okay, that was really good.
Yeah, that would be. That's not a bad idea though. Just some positive reinforcement. I'm just trying to find this fucking theme. Here we are. Found it.
James, there is a baby in the room, a baby who does not comprehend anything.
You got to pick the point from when to not swear in front of your baby. But I also have a theory that in the future, this is insane. By the way,
this is your fan theory.
Just bear in mind that. That there'll be a form of technology in the future where people will be able to perfectly recall memories through some sort of machine.
So
she could come back in time and just listen to this and just be like, my dad was insane. Oh, like, yeah? He kept it kind of pretty, yeah. He kept it kind of together when I'm around.
I mean, he's more insane now in this crazy future we live in, but.
Yeah, but yeah, I can see the seeds.
Look, I can, you know, there are people out there that seem to have perfect recall. I mean, you know, just transfer that to an app.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my
just,
God.
It's as easy as that.
That's
just,
right.
Just put it in an app.
Man, I've said so many mean things to your other kid as well.
Yeah. You give the finger to my children when they're really little.
Yeah, I really do, yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fun.
But you stop doing it to my other kid now.
Because he knows. He would figure it out. Yeah. He'd be like, he'd start doing it to you and be like, what does this mean?
All right, here we go. What are we reading?
I'm doing the thing.
Westworld.
Okay.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget. Have I broken you on this?
No,
you
seem to
be finding it funny every week.
I enjoy it a lot. What I enjoyed is because, you know, surely we're probably getting, you know, new listeners every once in a while. You know, people who are like, oh, I'm stuck at home. I would like to listen to a new podcast. Yeah. And then this happens and you just scream Westworld, even though we haven't talked about Westworld in weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
so
very
what
cool.
What are you Westworlding today?
This week I'm Westworlding. I started on The Great, which feels like a suggestible kind of.
It is. I've already talked about it.
I'm suggestible. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm on that. So it's Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult, and it's the story of Catherine the Great, the great Russian empress, I guess. And it's very.
Don't read the Wikipedia.
Seems not accurate. This show seems.
No, it's wildly inaccurate. But do you like it?
I do like it. It's fun.
I like it a lot. Yeah. It's kind of because it is by the same creators of the one with Olivia Colman. She won the Oscar.
Favorite.
Did you say that already?
I did say no, but I just said it now.
No, I said it.
Oh, it's okay, cool.
That was me who reminded you of that. Sure. Yeah, it's on Stan here. I don't know where it is anywhere else.
It's on Hulu, I checked.
Okay, great, true. Yeah.
Also, I'm going to watch a couple of things. In Australia, Amazon Prime currently has, they've just put on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh,
like
right.
All 13.
Are you up to date?
No, I'm not up to date. That's the thing. I'm going to get into that.
I got up to date last year. It's so good.
I'm years behind.
Yeah.
What are they up to, like?
13?
Yeah, there's 13
seasons. 15, maybe?
There's 13 seasons on Amazon. So
yeah, it's now the longest running live action show or something.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But I guess that doesn't mean, or it might be sitcom because Doctor Who, but that's been cancelled multiple times. I don't know what counts anymore or anything, do I?
Well, I'm going to get into that. But also, something just came up on Netflix today, and I really enjoyed the comic book when it came out. It's The Last Days of American Crime.
Apparently, it's atrocious.
It looks atrocious. They see that's
it's really sad.
It looks bad, yeah. But the people who don't, I think I
it's
mentioned.
It's also really long. I went to start.
It's
I'm
two and
like,
a half hours, yeah. I think I've mentioned the comic book on the podcast, but it's basically. Yeah. The American government decides sick of all this crime, so it builds a device that projects a signal around the United States, and if it affects your brain, when you're in range of the signal, you can't commit crimes.
Yeah.
Your brain won't let you commit crimes. So it's gonna be brought into wide use, and so a bunch of people are like, we should commit one last crime before.
It's gonna be cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be real cool.
I gotta get back on that comment because I started it and I gotta finish it.
It's a good one, but. Yeah. I watched the trailer for this and I'm like, I don't know if it's going to be good.
What is this? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a shame. I'd like to watch it, but I feel like I'm going to watch something that I like.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. And I want it to be good. I'm going to give it a try, but I feel like it might just be generic Netflix sort of sci-fi. You know, they're really like, well, you know, let's put some money into just a bunch of sci-fi premises that look like the modern day, more or less.
Yes.
So we don't have to spend that much money.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool and fun.
I'm going to mention Primates has a live stream, or to have done a live stream by now, of their very last episode, episode 100, Matt Stewart. That's right, for now. So you can. I'll link that below. But you can chip in a couple of bloody bucks, mate, to get
that's
to
right,
look
yeah,
into that.
So Matt and Evan.
You might see a couple of cameos from a couple of familiar faces.
Like celebrities?
Us.
Oh.
Not like celebrities,
oh,
no.
That's a shame. That's a real... Yeah. Wow, it's a real blow. But still, it could be... episode would still be fun, I bet.
Oh, it's terrific. It's a terrific show. So, yeah, please swing by for that. And I'm also back on Deceased because it's got an in-between cool series called Hope at World's End. It's Tom Taylor, Renata Gudez, and Rex Locus. So there's a time jump in between a couple of those issues, and this fills in the gap. And a lot of it is from Jimmy Olsen's perspective.
Oh,
so
like
he's like, there's
oh, yeah.
too many weird creatures. I don't like it.
That sounds just
and he's
like
mates
him.
With Superman. Like Superman turns up to save him and he's like, Jimmy, why didn't you use your watch that I give you? And Jimmy's like, I didn't want to bother you because you're probably busy.
I forgot how it works.
Yeah, that's
I
right.
forgot it had that feature in it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So this is actually, we shouldn't spoil it.
We won't spoil it, but yes, yeah. it's in the middle. Yes.
Okay, yeah, right.
So that's a great series, and maybe we've got a Caravan of Garbage coming up on it that we recorded what seems like years ago.
That's right. Before Deceased came out. It's just speculation what the series could be.
Yeah, what is Deceased? What does that even mean?
That's right.
Anything else before we move on?
That's about it for now. Let's do some letters.
Let's do some letters.
Classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
Another here right now, we're going to do letters.
If you don't want to reach us through hashtag weeklyplanetpod at Twitter or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Got a bunch of them this week because last week I mentioned like we don't get that many. Even Rando Jake the Peg says, do you know that song Jake the Peg?
With the extra leg? Arms?
No, Mason. Rolf Harris used to sing it, but don't worry about him. He's a pedophile. Oh, anyway, yeah. I feel bad that James keeps begging for tweets, so here you go.
Oh.
That's true. You should feel bad. I'm a pathetic human being. Isaac says, hey, you guys are my favorite podcast. Do you all think that movies are moving in the direction of video games, such as releasing with more urgency and then repairing in post and streaming extras DLC style?
Kind of.
An interesting perspective. Yeah.
Some of them seem to be. Mm. And it seems to be, again, it's not the Peanut Butter Falcon that's coming out and they're patching it halfway. It's your movies that are tending towards big blockbusters anyway. It's your, you know, and again, that is, it must be a deliberate strategy at this point, surely.
Yeah.
Of like, well, we'll release this movie and some of it won't make any sense, but you watch it because things explode.
Yes.
But then when the home video release comes out, then we'll fill in all the gaps, won't we? You know?
God, that's exhausting to think about that, isn't it?
I hate it.
Just to be like, what if we filled in like a Michael Bay film, with
more stuff.
God, yeah, it's so long.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I don't think it's a wise strategy, but that doesn't mean that that's not going to happen. I think because it used to be that you'd sell your DVD with your bonuses and your extras and your deleted scenes, and that was how you'd get people in.
Yes.
But this might just be the new version of that.
Yeah.
You know, and now that we've talked about this, I talked about this with Claire on my less successful podcast. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be weird if that podcast got more successful and I had to switch that up?
Wait, is that happening?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's growing. It's definitely growing. Okay. But but they're putting all the extra stuff on like Disney Plus. They do like streaming service.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Like bonus features and stuff, which is cool. But no, I don't really have a answer to that other than I think that's a very interesting observation. So yeah. What about you, Mason?
And again, like, but that's the, and I also feel like in terms of like, you know, video games are often shipped incomplete because they have the, I mean, that's what movies, for the most part, have over video games. And video games will ship incomplete all the time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, this is barely playable and we didn't give you any of the features you wanted. Wait a month and we'll patch that for you.
Or longer.
The only thing that I can really think of that's been patched post-release is Cats, allegedly. But yeah, I mean, I don't
George Lucas patched Star Wars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the original Star Wars, and maybe even some other ones. Huh. But yeah, he changed some stuff.
I don't feel like the movie industry would survive as well if they're like,
because people aren't going to go, well, I'll rush out. They'll be like, well, I'll wait till they fix it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think people are going to be like, because I guess at the very least with video games, if it's not finished, at least you're just in your house and you've paid for it once and you can kind of muck around on it, whatever they've given you.
Sure.
But if you're like, well, I'm gonna make a night of it and I have to pay $20 and go out and what have you, and then I pay all the money and then you show up and it's like, well, it's not finished. Okay, cool. Well, do I come back next week for another? Do I get a free do-over? That would kill the movie industry
again.
That's
not incorrect. I think it could work with some movies, but they're really, you made an interesting point when we talked about extended cuts last week.
Ooh.
That like the reason why, say, The Lord of the Rings works. Did you say this or did someone send this? I don't know. But
I'll take credit for
that
it
because it was initially a good movie.
Yes.
And so when you add stuff, people are like, I loved this and I want to see more of it. I don't want to be like, that was broken, but show me a different version of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm done with this.
Yeah, if I didn't like the movie originally, I'm not buying it again.
Yeah.
Like on
because you
David.
Say it's better.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm not, I want to, if the home version adds to the lore of an already complete movie, that works for me and I'll watch it maybe just to fill in some, you know, to get a more rich experience of that movie. But if the storyline or whatever of the original didn't work, I'm not buying it again.
That's right.
It's a trick and I hate it.
I just thought of this. I had a joke in my head. It doesn't work, but I'm just going to say it. When you said rich, I nearly said Richard Branson, but that doesn't even...
Nope.
It's nothing, is it?
That's just...
But my brain was like, say Richard Branson.
That's free associating, but he is rich, so you're not wrong.
So it works.
You are good. That is a good joke. What we do is we lower expectations so hard.
And we tell people it's a good joke.
When we actually do a good joke, people have... They've been tricked.
That's right, yeah.
This is an email from Zach Adams.
Okay.
It says, hey, Nicholas and Chickalus, that's us.
Yep.
I've been watching the new Netflix Snowpiercer TV show, and it got me thinking, what existing movie do you think would work best by setting it entirely on a train?
Oh, man. I mean, Dread.
Yep.
It's just a sideways. You could just do it sideways.
Yeah, that's true.
The building fell over and it's getting away. They got to go.
I guess you could translate any building related. The Towering Inferno.
Yep.
But it's a train that... The back's on fire.
Or the front.
Or the front.
Doesn't matter.
Yep,
it would be the front with the engine, right?
Did you know the Towering Inferno exists because there were two movies that were about burning buildings? And one was called The Tower and one was called like The Blazing Inferno. And they were two competing movie companies.
Yeah.
And they just mashed them together.
Wasn't there a whole thing of that movie as well? There was a bunch of stuff about the actors involved and who's going to be top credited and names were even going to be in the credits.
Yeah.
I mean literally top credited, like who's going to be at the top
of the... I think so.
Because it was like McQueen and...
And that's how the fire started.
Really?
Yeah, Sinatra set the fire.
That's typical of that prick, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Zach's suggestion is Shawshank Redemption. A man wrongly accused of not having a ticket spends 19 years attempting to get off a train or being closely watched by the mean train guard. I think that would be good.
What about this Polar Express?
Yes.
It's on a train, but it's inside a bigger train.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yep. The TV show Thomas the Tank Engine. I mean,
There's so many theories about kids shows, dystopia futures, because they're so weird and surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're going to do a fan theory episode in future, maybe we could just do kid shows.
Could definitely do that. Yeah. We've got to feel like SpongeBob is like a genetic mutation because of toxic waste and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely. Okay. We got one, all the Rugrats are dead except for Angelica.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's right, dark.
Yeah.
But
okay. Yeah. Look, I think John Wick would certainly work on a train.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You got to think kind of, well, that's the thing.
Under Siege 2 could work on a train.
Absolutely.
Under Siege 1 could work on a train. Definitely. Money Train could work on a train. Bigger train. That's my bigger trade
theory. Train, absolutely. Yeah. That's right. What's a movie you have to really shoehorn to fit on a train? Top Gun.
Wait, so even the fighter jets are inside the...
No, they're not
the
in the train. He's Tom Cruise's character is the best train driver.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
And you know, he
has to shoot down the other trains?
The Russian trains. There's an incursion of Russian trains.
Yeah.
And he has
and
to
the tracks are interweaving?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. I love it.
You got another one? What's
another train? I was
just,
doing...
No, just give me an action movie. We'll put it on
an action movie. Okay. Yeah. It's not like Die Hard, but that's easy in a train, isn't it?
That's right.
Anyway, what about, good Lord. What about Conan the Barbarian? We talked about
the train. Sure.
The train. I mean, because there wouldn't be would it be a big wooden wheeled train pulled by horses? Or is it just a modern train?
How about this Highlander on a train?
Okay.
There can only be one train. That's the...
So the competing trains?
There was a prophecy at the depot.
Yeah.
There can be only one train. And at the end you get a prize, which is a bunch of overtime.
But aren't the people who run the trains like, but we need more than one train? And they're like, no, there was a prophecy.
Exactly.
We have to whittle down our trains.
We have to whittle down the
trains. That doesn't even make sense for our network. That we've got an infrastructure here that keeps the city alive.
We're going to smash all the trains together. It's going to be great. And at the end there's going to be one train.
Oh, God. Yep. I like that. So it's not just take a movie and just like squish everyone onto a train. It's you have to create a scenario
James,
where it's on a train.
There's no rules here.
Because I'm not sure I've been following this the entire time.
Everything I've said has been totally correct.
Okay, good.
There can be only one train.
Train, perfect. I love it. Train theories, if people got them.
Yeah, really
give
good,
us them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's from JoeSwanson42, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod. Hey, James and Mason, my name's John. I live in Minnesota. Thank you both so much. Your band has got me through the last year in a major way. Congrats on the new baby. Thank you. Your increasing loss of sanity makes the pod depressingly funny. Thanks. I'm in a real rom-com indie movie mood right now. So I was wondering, what are your favorite rom-com and indie movies that you'd recommend? All the odd pod recommendations so far have been excellent, including Shaft 2000. What do you think of that, Mason?
I don't like it.
Yeah, well, you don't have to.
I don't.
Yeah, I would say there's some good modern rom-coms that they're doing at the moment on Netflix. Uh-huh. Like, what's the Ali Wong one?
Always Be My Maybe. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
It's
a good solid movie.
Yeah. Oops, my baby needs to be fed very soon. So let's bloody get this bloody going.
Right.
What do you think about the classic 90 ones when you Harry Met Sally and all those kinds of things? I think Notting Hill is one of the best ones.
What?
Well, Big Sick, that's a good new one.
Yeah, that is a good one. The thing about rom-coms of that era is...
They've all got Tom Hanks.
They've all got Tom Hanks, and they're all a bit... I don't like that they're probo sometimes, a bit problematic, yeah. But I also don't like articles that talk about how problematic they are.
I know, because it's like, we know. They were set in the 80s and 90s, we know.
Keira Knightley's very young in this movie, we know.
We know.
It's weird, I don't like it.
It's weird.
Yeah. I don't like any of this.
Crazy Stupid Love from 2011 is very good.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
I don't like Four Weddings and a Funeral either. Hitch is fun, right?
Hitch remains fun, I think.
Yeah, uh-huh. One of the few Adam Sandler movies I like is The Wedding Singer. I'm just going through a list.
Wedding Singer is good. Look, I think maybe what elevates these is a charming protagonist, yes. I think, maybe.
I like Love Actually, but I also understand if you don't love Like Actually. I know that it's like contrived and whatever, but yeah.
Like I saw Suddenly 30 quite recently.
Yes. And, bit probo, Mason? Is that what you're going to say? Oh, you should write an article about it.
It's a bit probo, but Andy Serkis is in it and he's a delight.
Oh, isn't he just?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo is in it, yeah.
And Jennifer Garner. Let's name the whole cast.
We have. That's all of them. They just put on different
stage show. Yeah, absolutely. People like Amelie, but I think Amelie's insufferable. Like I liked at the time. I'm like, this is quirky and fun. And now I hate this.
Okay, I've not seen Amelie.
Do you like the movie Serendipity?
No. In Time?
Yeah, it's not really a rom-com though, is it?
No, it's about family, I guess.
But that's well worth it. That'll get you bloody where you need to be.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Yeah. 10 Things I Hate About You. That's fun. If you want a snapshot of the 90s.
That's the one, absolutely, yeah.
Or Can't Hardly Wait, uh-huh. Which I think we've talked about before. So there you go. There's some ones that are fine. Got any others, or should we just wrap up?
I'll think of one as soon as we switch off.
Don't worry, you can drive back to my house and we'll just add it in.
Okay, cool.
You're like, I forgot to mention Harry Met Sally.
Sure. And then you'd be like, no, we mentioned it first. I'll be like, oh, God damn it. And you'd be like, we haven't mentioned it as a thing you might come back and say, even though... We already mentioned it, and I'll be like, oh, my God, this is getting really meta. Why am I back here?
So, do you want to wrap up the show?
Oh, I've got some more letters.
Oh, great. Yeah, let's do it.
James, I've got so many letters.
Love letters. Sorry, I got to go back to sleep, so we're good.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Look at this work that I'm doing, Mason.
You're doing great.
It's easier with the second kid because you're like, I know all the tricks.
Okay, now this is from Jack Taylor, and this is how you get us. You get us with a good subject line.
Hot stuff.
My car flipped over while listening to the pod.
Whoa.
Hey, mates, hope all is well. Just thought it'd be fun to tell you that on my way to work, I always listen to the podcast to make the drive go by quicker. I've been listening since 2014.
Sounds like you've been on a bit too bloody quick, am I right?
That was 2014, it's a billion years ago. However, today while listening to the recent Director's Cut episode, someone tried to merge into me and I swerved out of the way, lost control, and my car flipped over, landing on its roof. Jesus. I sustained zero injuries, luckily, though
That's
my
awesome.
Car is totaled. It was a little surreal crawling out of my broken window to grab my phone and pause the podcast in the middle of the freeway.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss out.
Yeah, no.
We said all kinds of great stuff about Director's Cuts.
Exactly.
Are they good? Are they bad?
And then people run over to help and they're like, what is this?
Yeah.
What are you listening to?
Yeah.
You've got to explain that, but you flipped a car, so you're a little distracted. Yeah.
P.S. He says, I've been listening since I was 14 in 2014.
There you go.
I've been subscribed to James for even longer. I'm now 20 years old and love hearing you guys talk about comic book movies
every
Monday.
Yeah, we're so old,
Mason. No, we're also young. It's fine. And he's got a picture of this truck. It's a nice, like a red, Americans would call that a pickup truck,
oh,
I think.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that is a car. That is a truck flip.
He said, here's a photo for you guys, wicked CD on the ground. So a CD has fallen out of his.
Does he mean like wicked CD or does he mean like the musical wicked CD?
He's just said a wicked CD.
A wicked
I can't,
CD.
I've zoomed in and I can't
wicked
quite tell
CD.
What it is. But if, Jack, if you're ever, if you want to give us an update and tell us what CD that was.
Yeah. Is it a wicked CD?
Yeah.
Or was it wicked the CD?
That's right.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I think I mentioned this to you recently or maybe even before this show today. Who knows? But we get a lot of, I had a car crash when, And you guys were there, like, because I was listening to you.
Uh-huh.
But we never get like, hey, I won like a scratchy ticket. I won $10,000.
Right, sure.
When I was listening to you guys.
Because they're too busy spending the money.
Yeah, it's never like a bird dropped me a bar of gold, for example.
Oh, yes.
You know.
I wonder if there's a reason for that, a compelling reason why somebody wouldn't be walking down the street and a bird would drop a bar of gold on them. And that person's probably unconscious.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay, yeah. But do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Is good stuff happening when people listen to this? Or is this a curse? You know?
Good question.
Yeah.
Speaking of driving, this is from Kevin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what do I do?
I don't know what to do.
Hello, Mason and James. I'm a college student in Alabama. My summer internship fell through due to COVID. That's happened. I've had to become a delivery driver to have an income this summer, and your podcast has made my shifts go by very quickly. I'm grateful for all that you do, and I have fun diving in your back catalogue. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Now on to my question. With listening to the podcast, I've started wanting to read comics and I would like to know your recommendations for where to begin. Also, can I do this without becoming poor along the way?
No.
Go to the library.
Go to the library. Yeah. We should do an episode on this at some point. People have been asking for years, starting comics.
That's go to the library would be good. A lot of, because you're in America, we don't have this in Australia, but there's a lot of unlimited digital subscriptions in America. There's Marvel Unlimited and Comixology
has one as well.
And so basically you pay a fee every month and you can read as many comic
books
as you want.
Like Netflix for comics. Not a lot of new stuff, but they're constantly updating it. I haven't done it, but it seems to be well worth it.
A lot of comic book companies often will have digital giveaways of stuff. Like if you sign up to the news, I think 2000 AD, Fleetway who do 2000 AD, if you signed up to the newsletter, they would give you like 50 free comics.
Yeah, right, okay.
Comics, so you can do that.
Also, share like an account with friends.
Oh, yeah, that would work
People
too.
Do that with Kindles and whatever. Yeah, like I know, like I give my comic password stuff to my brother, the one you don't like. Just be like, just what do you want to read? And I'll get it because I write them off on tax. So there's a lot of Serenity sequel comics.
I bet there is. The brother I don't like. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
He's a big fan of those.
They're good suggestions. I like the idea of the library one as well, though COVID and library might not be a great idea, but I don't know.
I wonder, there's a lot of libraries have like an app where you can get you can borrow out audiobooks and stuff like that.
Right, okay.
So if they have an audiobook, you request it in the app and it comes through. I wonder if they have a comic book thing.
Do you love a book on tape?
I do like a book on tape.
I don't mind a book on tape either.
What would you recommend if first comic book?
Oh, for God, I don't know. Superman Birthright is a great.
That's a good one. Yep.
First story.
Yes.
Comic. Uh-huh. It's a Superman origin.
Yes.
Let's do an episode.
We'll do an episode on
it. Any other ones that, I mean,
I like.
You can do Batman Year One and.
That's a good one.
You can't really go wrong.
I find when I'm recommending it is often a DC one as opposed to anything else. And I don't know why that is, but what's that one that I always recommend? People will be letting me know.
The Bible.
No, yeah, it's the Bible.
Yeah.
It's the DC's The New Frontier is what I'm
thinking. Oh, yeah, that's great.
Which is
that's
sort
really
of a
good,
sort of a retro one and it's sort of in the style of. I was going to say in the style of Paul Dini. I think he did the art on it.
That would make sense why it's in his style, don't you think?
That's right. It'd
be weird if it wasn't in his style.
Darwin Cook, rather.
It's in the. Well, that would be weird if it wasn't in the style.
Well, Darwin Cook
had
a lot of influence on the Dini verse. So, but it's sort of a limited series which was set sort of in the golden age or the golden silver age in the 1950s of the DC Comics characters. And you don't need to know anything about any of them, really. It's just a good. Good solid comic.
And there's dinosaurs in it.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know. Mm. All right, she's waking up again and we really do need to wrap this up, Mason.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for telling a friend in this difficult time. I know we've all got a lot going on.
We do, don't we?
You know, just set all that aside and tell a friend about our podcast.
That's the priority.
And then leave a nice review. James, do you have a nice review?
I got two nice reviews. This is from Nakevism. This is a great show. 5 stars. Thank you. You can just do it in app. Did you know that, Mason?
I did know that.
It's easy as pie. Easier than pie.
Wow.
Because pie, if you're cooking, it takes effort. Pie, if you're eating it, you got to sit down for it.
That's right.
This, you could do this standing.
Yeah. And sometimes you eat a pie. It's not worthwhile. It's not a great pie.
Yeah, you're like, I've got the calories, but I don't have the satisfaction.
Leaving a review, no calories, all satisfaction.
That's right. I've been listening to them since 2016, and they're my favorite podcast. I keep trying to find ones that I like as much as this one, and I can't. That's right. You can't and you never will. Even my less successful podcast, Suggestible, because it's less successful for a reason.
You don't get that sense of satisfaction.
No, you really don't.
Listening to an award-winning podcast.
No, it's coming back this week, by the way. We're ready to go, I think.
Okay.
Vincent D. Taylor said, release the sandwich cut. 5 stars. Just do it, you cowards. Did we ever say sandwich cut? We probably did. It's an in-joke, maybe,
sounds
that
like
we
something
did.
We would say. Yeah, it sounds pretty cool, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody. I hope everybody's doing all right out there.
Yeah, man.
Let us know how you're doing. You can get us at Weekly Planet Pod at Facebook, at Gmail, at Twitter, at Bandcamp.
Yes.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and on Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau. James, you're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
Everywhere, all the time.
You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com, sign up to the newsletter from the great Rob Collings. He's doing great things all the time.
Yes.
You can also look at all the other podcasts on the Planet Broadcasting Network. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, which is a great refuge for people. If you like, who do I talk? I'm in quarantine. Who do I talk to about all sorts of pop culture-y, comic booky, comic book movie kind of stuff.
Speak to some nice people in there.
Speak to some nice people. Have a fine time.
You can yeah, that's that right.
Little Facebook group. 10,000 people.
That's right.
So not that little. It's pretty impressive.
Substantial. But it's not overwhelming because it is right. well yeah. moderated.
Exactly.
And it's not an. There's a good amount of posts.
Exactly right. If you would like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. If you'd like to chuck in a buck, also you can go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description.
Yes.
Shop local, but if you can't, if you're stuck in your house, go through Amazon our link, get everything delivered.
That's right. Mm. It's as easy as pie. Easier
than pie. It's so much easier than pie. And you get the satisfaction of knowing you've purchased a thing.
Oh, great stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that it?
You can get some t-shirts on tpublic.com. Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all their musical themes.
How do they do it?
I guess like...
They recorded it the one time and...
Yeah, then we repeated it.
We edited it in every week.
Yeah.
So it's really no effort on their behalf past the initial...
But 100% satisfaction. That's what we're
here
for.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm all about.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Easier than pie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, next week, maybe that comic thing, but also we might not be back next week or it might be just news. We're doing this week to week. This was, again, supposed to be just news and we... Found some time because we're also still trying to keep ahead of Caravan of Garbage and I still haven't taken a break and maybe I should. What am I doing, Mason? I
think but it's good that everybody knows the thought process, which is very exciting. Yeah,
people are enjoying my swiftly unraveling sanity as well. So also, if you love Batman v Superman or hate it, you are going to love Caravan of Garbage on Tuesday where we look at it. I mean, we've already – the backlash from Man of Steel alone, this is going to be –
Oh, really? You think
we've
so?
We've dug a grave, Mason, that we will never escape. It's also
are we in the grave together, though?
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
It's also, that's how we're getting buried, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's also, Ben's currently editing it. It's also like 32 minutes long. It's the longest one we've ever done.
Yeah, right.
And it's not the added video games thing we did with Bond. Yeah. It's just 32 minutes long. And the extended is like 45. Yeah, so, right. Yeah. So sounds if you like nitpicks,
yeah.
Mate, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Hopefully see you guys next week. Grab that gem, you guys. Bye.
Bye.
James.
Yeah.
James.
You're back. What are you doing here?
When Harry Met Sally. Classic rom-com.
Great work. Thanks for coming back. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I'm so tired, but I've committed to this.
A felony because you sped to get here to
That's
get it
right.
done.
That's right. I really did. Yep.
All right. Goodbye for real. This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.